It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, obviously, it is Red Friday here in Chiefs Kingdom as they get ready to take on the Buffalo Bills at 3:25, announced earlier today by Sean McDermott. No Dalton Kincaid going for the Bills. He'll be out. Amari Cooper will be listed as questionable. Isaiah Pacheco and Charles Omenihu will find out about 1 o'clock or so what their availability will be, but like I'll just tell you, probably ain't going to happen. Juju Smith-Schuster was participating in practice yesterday. He is expected to go coming up on Sunday. Next up on What's Trending, news at least out of the other AFC teams. T. Higgins is expected back for the Bengals this week after being a full participant in practice earlier today. They are significantly, Drew, better on offense when T. Higgins plays.
Yes.
So not a game back for them. Certainly. Do they have a big opponent this weekend, or they have
They have the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. It is a big
one. Forget. That is kind of, well, for the playoff standings.
Yeah. Yes.
Losing
huge.
This would be massive, because then they would only be down to being able to get past Denver, another team I think they play later on in the season.
Yes.
But
yeah, they
know,
need
they're
this
kind
one.
Of sealing their own fate against the Chargers if they lose this one. And then they would be, what, 3 games below 500?
Yep.
Putting themselves in real bad shape for the postseason. So a big get back for Cincinnati as they get ready to take on the Chargers for Sunday Night Football. And lastly on What's Trending, college football this weekend. Number 23, Missouri, will face number 21, South Carolina, on the road. Currently a road dog in that one. Number 16, K-State, has Arizona State, and Kansas will have to travel all the way out to BYU to face number 6 Cougars, a team that is currently undefeated and in the college football playoff rankings at the moment.
Yeah, some good games this weekend. It'll be interesting to see what KU does. KU just can continue to be the bad guy, you know, and just spoil other teams' season.
They could spoil 2 team season and get to a bowl game if they manage to win out.
And Kansas State,
they're not going to win out, but, you know.
As crazy as if they do beat BYU, they play Colorado next week. Kansas State fans, you don't wear Jayhawks gear, I guess, but you might want to wear some red and blue just to support the Jayhawks in a way, because you need Colorado to lose.
Kansas has, they're going to BYU, and then Colorado's coming here to play at Arrowhead, which, by the way, that game all of a sudden becomes far more. So I'm like, I kind of want to go to that now.
Yeah.
If Colorado wins this week, and I don't remember who they've got, but
Utah, they should win.
Okay. So yeah, Utah's been bad season for Utah. So like if they win, I'm kind of interested all of a sudden. Plus there's college hoops this weekend. Drew, you're a big college guy. You got nothing but college.
There's some good games this weekend. Rob and I were just talking about it. My Wisconsin Badgers play Arizona tonight. That'll be good. Purdue plays Alabama.
Are those ranked teams? Is Wisconsin ranked?
Wisconsin is not ranked. Arizona is. And then Alabama is ranked. Purdue's ranked as well. Both of those games are on Peacock, though. So if you don't have Peacock, then you should use the trial to watch it.
I saw that Twisters movie's on there. I was trying to decide if that was worth a watch. Anybody see it? 913-586.
I have not seen Twisters yet.
7965. Is it worth it? Like
I enjoy a good
like Friday night, mindless action movie, beer situation, you know, like whatever. So like, someone tell me whether or not that one's worth it. If there's some other movie I should be checking out, you know, who else has got a ranked game this weekend? UMKC.
Ooh,
don't know if you know that. Back to back ranked opponents for the Ruse.
Good test.
They just lost to Iowa State by like 20 this previous week. They've got Creighton.
Yikes, Creighton killed... They played somebody the other night and destroyed them, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think it was like NAI. It was like a Hannibal LaGrange.
It was worse than UMKC?
Yeah, it was a lot worse.
Yeah, dude, they got him tomorrow night, 6 o'clock.
It's a good you know what they're doing, Cody?
At Creighton.
They are prepping the ruse.
Oh, Houston Christian? I don't care about that. They can beat the hell out of whatever.
They're prepping the ruse, Cody, for the NCAA tournament when they're going to have to face a team like Creighton or like Iowa State in the NCAA tournament.
They'll already be tested by them.
Trying to get the guys used to playing a team like that.
They just played number 7 Iowa State and lost 82-56. They've got Creighton tomorrow. Then things really lighten up for the Ruse until conference play starts. Then they play Calvary, who doesn't even have a logo on Google, American, Albany, SEMO, that's Southeast Missouri. So it's like, they're good for a minute. They'll be good. After they get through these two ranked opponents,
they'll be all right.
Things will be okay until the normal time, until you get to January and they start, conference games kick up.
How much does your interest level peak at in January?
Much more. They were picked number one in the preseason poll. I mean, I'm not going to not pay attention.
It's when you're locked in.
Text line says, Twisters is a good movie. Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson's tonight. Special effects. Someone said Bad Boys for Life is on Hulu. If maybe you're just looking for an action movie. Mm. For the most part, people are saying Twisters is a pretty good
I've heard
watch.
That it's good.
Someone says they've seen it 15 times. 15 times?
Wow. I don't think I've ever watched a movie, I guess, this soon after a release 15 times.
All right, we'll talk. No, impossible.
That's crazy.
I don't know that I mean, I can't think of a movie I've seen 15 times other than the ones I would have, watched when I was young. And then, I don't have the time anymore. I'll never watch a movie. Any movie made now until the rest of time, I'll never see 15 times.
The only movies I've watched 15 times are maybe Disney movies, because you include the 4 or 5 times you want to watch it as a little kid, and then you watch it every now and then later on. But still, 15, that's a lot of times.
Someone says you should check out Piece by Piece. It's a Pharrell Lego biopic movie. I'm interested. I could be talked into that. Pharrell's in pretty much every music soundtrack my kids watch these days. I'll tell you what, just real quick, and then I swear we can get back to the Chiefs. So my daughter is super into the Descendants movies. You're probably a little too old. People with kids on the text line understand it. Descendants and Zombies. They are doing a live tour next year, Drew, for Descendants and Zombies with the actual members of the cast.
Nice.
Coming to the T-Mobile Center, right? They're going to be there.
That's awesome.
The whole thing, my daughter loved. She's been a Descendants character 2 years in a row for Halloween. She listens to the music all the time. It's been a regular staple in the Tap household. I could not believe the cost for tickets. It was offensive. It's a Disney movie concert. I'm not going to see Bruce Springsteen. The hell are we doing here?
Are we? I get we're
lower
talking
level.
We're talking
Disney movie.
We're talking triple
T-Mobile
figures. I know we're talking triple digits. Or is it four?
It's not four digits. Okay. How much do you think it costs for two? I bought two, by the way. I didn't buy for the whole family. Just either me or my wife will take my
$600.
Quite that bad. But it was like four. I mean, it was just like, but a four? It's a kid's concert. It's a kid's concert.
That's wild.
We can't. Someone says, thanks for the alley-oop, man. # Descendant Dad. Your kid will, dude, the concert's not till next August, but the tickets are on sale now. And if your kid's really into them, they're going to love it.
$200 a ticket. Man, that's, are they that big of a deal? I guess. Are they that big of a deal where it makes some sense?
I'll say this. The one thing that I think is a benefit to this versus if you're going to just see Disney on Ice or something, at least it's going to include some members of the actual movie cast. All right? So that makes it better, right?
Yes.
That makes it better. But I mean, God, just offended by the price. I've decided that this is the week. I'm either going down swinging or I'm joining the rest of the group. I, for the final week, will claim that this is the case, unless something, because if they don't get it this week, I'm out. I'm done predicting it. This is the week that Patrick Mahomes finally hits Xavier Worthy deep in a game. It's happening. This is the time. It's been enough of this, tiptoeing around it, seemingly, for weeks. Whether it be Xavier Worthy not knowing where the sideline is, or the following week, Patrick Mahomes not knowing where the sideline is, or some of just the general misses near the end zone, or this or that, they are going to have a pass of greater than 30 yards completed between the two of them this week. And honest to God, if it doesn't happen this week, I'm out. I'm done predicting it.
Okay.
I'm done saying it's on the doorstep, and I will accept that this is a team with zero deep passing game.
Did you bet the...
Zero deep passing game. I did. Over 25 and a half yards. Depending on the book you go to, you can get it at minus 110. Some places you can get it at, you know, plus money.
I think take it in a heartbeat. I think I'm with you. I think this Sunday is the game that they finally get that connection. They've been trying. Hasn't quite happened because of the two of them, respectively.
But I think there's
going to be a deep ball hit. I mean, 25 yards. You didn't even have to throw a deep ball. It could be like a little wheel route.
It's going to be
anything.
It's going to be a gain of 30 or more yards from the 913. Guess you'll just be joining the rest of us. Look, you're probably right. Some dreams I'm not willing to die on, because the problem with giving up on the they won't find a way to get the ball to Xavier Worthy deep, like legitimately just thinking it's not going to happen, is then they just don't have a deep passing game. We are eliminating the possibility that the Chiefs could ever have a deep passing game this year. And while that's not a shocker to this point, the Chiefs are the worst deep passing game in the league. Like, dead serious. They're worst. Nobody's worse at getting the ball down the field than the Chiefs. And they were that last year, pretty much, for the majority of the year. So, like, we have, like, 18 consecutive months of the ball simply not traveling down the field. So it's easy to just be like, well, just give up, man. That thing ain't gonna happen. This is it. I've drawn my line in the sand. I am so convinced they are right on the precipice of finding a deep passing game that I'm predicting it will happen this week. But if it doesn't, I am happy, as the 913 pointed out, to join the rest of you.
I will
jump on board that it's just not going to happen.
I'm convinced that it's going to happen because they keep on trying it. You know, it's not like they've just given up.
No.
You know, they've tried, and I think it's only a matter of time. Even if it's not this week, I still think that there's going to be some point in the next couple weeks, very soon, where Mahomes won't overthrow Worthy. It won't be out of bounds.
Yeah.
Or Worthy will stay in bounds. Whatever the case is, that ball would... There's going to be a deep ball connection that is made from Xavier Worthy to Patrick Mahomes. And it's not like Xavier Worthy can't get open either. You know, he's creating separation. It's just that the ball either hasn't been placed right, or Worthy loses where he's at on the sideline. It's just a little thing that has to be corrected.
It's really hard because, like, fundamentally, I do not think Patrick Mahomes is a bad deep ball passer, because I've seen him do it. Like, I have in his career seen him be successful in the deep passing game. Brock Purdy led all quarterbacks last year in deep passing rate.
Of all quarterbacks,
Brock Purdy, dead serious. Deep passing rate last year, C.J. Stroud was number two. Tua was three. Dak Prescott was four. Trevor Lawrence was five.
Mm.
Jordan Love was six. So, I mean, these are quarterbacks who I do not watch and be like, man, they're just so much better at the deep passing game. Last year was easy. They had no deep threat. They had literally no speed to take the ball down the field. They now have a person. It's Xavier Worthy. But it just hasn't connected.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's a physical ability thing. I think some of it is like being out of practice, right? He doesn't get to do it as much, so the passes aren't as good. He doesn't get to throw it all the time like he was with Tyreek Hill. I think some of it's certainly that. But like, I refuse to give up on it until this week. This is my end.
I don't want to say he's trying too hard sometimes either. Like, if he's not necessarily confident in it, or he's just lost the ability to really place it properly. But like, I think actually that might actually be what it is, what you said. He hasn't done it enough. In an in-game situation, it hasn't happened enough where... Not that he puts pressure on himself, but he knows this is the time to do it. This is the one chance I get to throw a deep ball. They don't do it often enough because they just don't have that personnel to try it multiple times.
From the 816, any other quarterback with stats like Mahomes would have you not be calling him the best quarterback in the league. Mahomes is not and hasn't been the best quarterback in the league for 4 years, according to David in Kansas City.
4 years?
Look, I'm just going to have to disagree.
4 years ago, he threw 50 touchdowns, didn't he?
I would also point out that he has won the Super Bowl two consecutive years. And he's right. This year and last year, if you just looked at any statistical quarterback, I would agree with you. This year and last year, no part of his statistics have suggested he's the best quarterback in the league. 3 years ago, he led the league in passing yardage and touchdowns. So, like, he's pretty good that year, probably. He had 41 touchdowns and 12 interceptions and 5,250 yards. 4 years ago, he had 4,839 yards and 37 touchdowns. So, like, yeah, I think it's probably fine. Like, if you say 2 years, you had me, David. You can make the argument that there's nothing about his statistical success over the last 2 years that would suggest he's the best quarterback in the NFL, except the whole he's undefeated in the playoffs and a two-time Super Bowl champion, which happens to be a relatively big stat. And his fourth down stats, his ability on third down, because if you want to ask me, like, what about this year's season does make you think Patrick Mahomes is still a top quarterback in the league? Which I don't know why anyone would be arguing, but if we're arguing for that sake, I would tell you that he is the most efficient quarterback, and they are the most efficient offense on third down in the NFL. That is a major stat for me. Huge stat. Because that leads to successful offenses. The fact that they are able to do that. Yeah, I know if you look on paper and you see 2,208 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 9 picks, you're not blown away. But this isn't just Mahomes I would defend in this. Go look up Brock Purdy's stats. I think Brock Purdy is playing top 7 quarterback, top 5 quarterback in the league right now. I think he's playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Seriously. Maybe not top 5, but top 7 to 8. His stats look a lot like Patrick Mahomes. I still think he's playing some of the best quarterback in the league. It just kind of depends. From the 816, Patton Worthy did connect on a deep shot to the Chargers this year. Worthy definitely is getting open. And I agree, it's not like it's happened a lot, but it's just, that's a long time ago, man. What was that Chargers game? Week 3?
Yeah, 4.
Week 4?
Week 4, because I think they played, I think, who was it? It was
I can't be having Ravens, a deep Bengals, passing, Falcons, maybe? I can't know. Be having a deep pass get completed every 2.5 months. That was like Labor Day. It's got to be more recent than that.
David's negotiating with you. He said, okay, I'll accept 2 years now.
Okay. I'm glad. You know what? In fairness, once I pointed out the facts, yeah, I like this, David. There are too many people in this world who will not agree even when presented with facts. I presented you with a little bit of facts, and you're like, okay, fine. I'll give up on the four-year thing. I want to talk about the last 2 years.
So somebody texted in, and we talked about it last year a little bit. From the 816, soon as EB left, he's turned into a shell of himself. Nagy's ruined him in the offense. It's really interesting because I think looking at the offensive rankings, they're fine. They just do things in a different way. Obviously, it makes some sense. Yeah. A different coordinator, all that other stuff. In conversation, though, regarding Matt Nagy, who, according to some reports, has been, you know, as a guy maybe to watch in regards to the coaching carousel for next season, I don't know if it was you, Cody, or if it was Alex who has said, I don't know if I want Matt Nagy as the next head coach when Andy Reid retires.
Yeah, like, I'll tell you this much. I wouldn't be in a hurry.
Yeah, I want somebody else if I can. So I wonder if that, I know that you guys haven't gone as far as to say Eric Bieniemy leaving is what's causing Patrick Mahomes to play this way, or it's Matt Nagy's fault as much as it is. I'd be a little bit weary of Matt Nagy being the head coach because I know what this offense currently looks like, and I don't know if I like it as much. Maybe it's not because of Patrick Mahomes as much as some other external factors.
But I will reserve the right to, I am willing to reserve the right to make my decision on Matt Nagy until they have a full complement of weapons. 2 years ago, their number one wide receiver coming into the season was Kadarius Toney. I don't care.
You're saying,
I don't care who the offensive coordinator would have been. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
So next year they bring back, they have Rashee Rice. Say they bring back D-Hop. They got DeAndre Hopkins. They'll have Xavier Worthy. Let's say they draft another wide receiver.
Yeah, that's a full compliment.
Four wide receivers and Travis Kelce you think is still hanging around.
I'll make a decision. Okay. I'll make a decision then. Like, I don't think the fears are unwarranted. I'm just saying I'm waiting to make a decision. Coming up in about 40 minutes, Harold Kuntz will join us for the Fan Club. Plus, in about 10 minutes, we'll get into why this game plays the way it does on Sunday. But Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight tonight, Drew.
Ugh, man, it's finally here, I guess, right?
I'm going to refuse to watch it.
I don't think I will either.
Dude, this fight's rigged. It's a fake fight. They already know who's going to win, in my opinion. This is a wrestling match. Jake Paul getting slapped by Mike Tyson yesterday. This is a wrestling match. And I'm not saying wrestling can't be entertaining. I watched it with friends a couple of months ago. Been the first time since it was SummerSlam, whatever it was. I watched SummerSlam with some friends. Very entertaining. They taught me all the backstories. This is a fake fight. And Jake Paul is one of the most unlikable people on the planet. So unless you're going to tell me that this is a fake fight rigged so that Mike Tyson knocks him unconscious, I'm not interested. Because rigged fights with young fighters feel like Jake Paul wins in a 9-round decision or so, 10-round decision, dude. I can't do that. I can't watch a fight for that long for this. I'm just not interested. Are you?
I'm going to be
913-586-7965.
9 rounds of Mike Tyson against Jake Paul? Sorry. I'm better off watching. Look, Wisconsin basketball is on tonight for the first time on TV. I'm watching that instead of Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. I'm sorry.
Wisconsin basketball
Wisconsin
in November?
Hoops, baby. Yes. They play Arizona. I'm excited. I'm not watching. 10 rounds of Jake Paul and Mike Tyson does not sound fun. They're both going to be gassed after round 6. I don't. Mike Tyson is 58 years old, Cody. I don't know if he's going to be able to make it a full 10. I don't even know if they are, if it's a full-fledged, quote-unquote, boxing match. I don't think he's lasting 10 rounds, if they're even doing that.
I honestly, here's what's funny, is I kind of feel like they set this fight up to be like the generational. Like, for the people that are like, I can't take these YouTube stars and all of their prime energy drinks, right?
Yeah.
Right? They set it up so that, like, anyone who is my age or older is like, I hope Mike Tyson, like, ruins this man's life. Right? That's what
they're
setting.
First round knockout. Like, yeah, send him to the floor.
They're setting it up because that's how you want. They want the generational thing. And then everybody young, right? Anybody who's a little bit younger than you or your age or younger, who grew up in the YouTube generation,
yep,
who grew up with the Paul brothers and all of a sudden, like, they're going to be rooting for their guy, right? They've set up, this is why it's smart. They are setting it up as a generational difference in those.
Somebody said they're 47 and I'm watching Fern Nostalgia. I'm sorry. You're not going to, I feel like you're going to be really disappointed, yeah, because Mike Tyson's not going to give you that nostalgia. If it were 10 years ago and you were 48, I don't even know if he was still a pro then or if he had already retired by then. 48, you would think he would have retired. That might have been more nostalgia.
Someone said 14-ounce gloves, 2-minute rounds. Said for those, from the 816, for those who don't know much about boxing, those are unusually heavy gloves. Say borderline sparring gloves is what they're calling them.
So they want somebody
even
to get knocked out.
Even for heavyweight fighters. So they're saying they don't want anyone to get knocked out. And they're saying a 2-minute round is obviously a full minute less than a traditional round. So, like,
so there's
odds are it's coming down to the card, right? Like, I think this is going the full 10. I think if you buy the paper or if you pull it up on Netflix tonight and you got a bunch of people over there watching for that thing, like, you know, you're doing that. Someone says they're 19 and their generation's rooting for Mike Tyson, too.
Good for you guys.
Hmm. Okay.
I have no interest in it. If it were, you know what? If it were, maybe it's the Netflix thing, because, I mean, I have Netflix, but I'm not going to Netflix to watch a fight. If it were on national TV and they say they put it on Fox, I don't know. They put it on ABC. It was a 5-round, it was a best of 5, 2-minute round fight. Maybe I'll watch it because, you know what? It's not going to last any more than 15 minutes. That might be 15 minutes worth watching.
This is where, like, social media is a scourge in society. But generally speaking, and I'm active on it, so, like, I'm saying that as an active participant in the horror. I'll say this feels like one of those, like, this is a thing that I like social media about. It's like, I don't need to watch the event. Someone will show me the clip on YouTube.
I'll watch the highlights.
I'll get on Twitter and someone will pop up the, you know. Someone will show me the punches, dude. It's fine. Right? I landed a good one. I'll see it. It's fine.
Somebody said, hell, they're 56 and they can kick a little ass. All right.
All right. Look, I hope it's a fight.
Apparently it's 8 rounds. 8 2-minute rounds, Cody. Even 8. Tyson's not lasting 8. He's 58. I don't think he's lasting 8 rounds.
8 rounds?
I don't think Tyson can last 8 rounds. He's going to be too gassed.
Two-minute rounds, though.
I know, but they should have had this thing go 5 rounds. Five rounds, 2 minutes. Let him just get after it and then be done with it.
I guess we'll keep an eye out on it.
Because I think, to your point, it's going to come down to the card, which, of course, it will.
And then they'll choose Jake Paul to win because they want him to keep boxing. They don't need Mike Tyson to keep boxing people.
I know.
For the sanctioned fight. But, right, you know what I'm saying? Like, he does, you know. They don't need him to continue a boxing career in order to continue to promote it.
I do think it is the fakest boxing career as well.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean,
can you fight Canelo Alvarez, please? Huh? Jake Paul, please? Like, go up against somebody who's not 45 or older. Like, let's try it one time. Come on now.
No, you're not going to do that.
When we come back, there's a little bit of an update on what the Chiefs are doing next in their search for a stadium renovation or a new stadium. Plus, this game plays one particular way for one very big...
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Reason. 90 minutes to go here on a Friday. Cody and Gold. Cody Tapp with you here on 96.5 The Fan. Gold's out today. He's got family obligations. Drew's back, even though he left the show early yesterday. I put a Sprite back there for you for the fan club.
Starting
at 1 o'clock, I wanted to make sure you felt okay.
So Gold's not here. Thank you for that. I will take the Sprite. He told me he didn't think he was going to cry given the speech. You know him better than I do, obviously, because you guys have been working together longer. Do you think he gets a little emotional giving his best man speech? To me, he doesn't come across as a very...
But he also says things like he gets goosebumps and stuff. So like,
yeah.
And like, I think I might be more dead on the inside than Gold. So like, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
It's his twin sister.
I know.
Like, if you're not getting like at least a little emotional on that one, then
yeah,
you might be a robot. That's a person you shared a womb with.
Yeah.
Like, what level of, you know, like, they are a close family. Like, I mean, if you're not getting a little emotional on that one, then, whew.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that feels like the one, right?
I would think so.
I give Gold credit. I'll say that he shows some emotion in his speech tonight. I'm just telling you, it depends on how they handle it. I think Alex has been getting a year and a half reprieve from what are the natural questions inside a family unit that are...
Oh, yeah.
So what's going on in the dating life? How are the prospects? You got a single sibling? You got a single brother, single sister?
Yes, I've got a single brother. My sister is in a relationship.
Okay.
But not married.
But when you guys all get together on a family Zoom, they ask your brother how it's going, right?
Every now and then I will send my brother a, how's it going? He's like, oh, my job? No, just in general. How's life? I do think for my sake, being married, I have cousins who are also married. Nobody has kids in terms of our age.
Oh, okay.
All of our parents who are all related, obviously, us being cousins, nobody has kids yet. So I haven't been asked hey, you know, when are you going to, you know, are you trying to have
but
kids?
But nobody
you know?
Has them. So it's not direct pressure
on
you.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm not getting that pressure.
I'm going to guess Alex gets a little reprieve because
I bet he gets
the
asked.
Kid thing. But after the wedding, then it'll be the, you know, depending on the family, right?
It might
be like the
100%.
How soon after you get married are you going to have kids? So like he might still continue to get a little reprieve.
I think he's definitely getting asked this weekend, how's the dating life going?
Oh, the wedding is not a good escape from that.
By a lot of people.
His twin sister's getting married. I guarantee you that's going to be every family member who's there be like, well, when are you getting married, Alex? That's what they're going to say.
100%.
When are you getting married, Alex? He's going to be tired of it by Monday. We'll have to ask him. On Monday, I'll ask him. Say, hey, man, how many times did you get that question? Just come on, be honest. How many times?
I don't even know what an over-under would be for that. 6.5? Over?
I take the over. I think you got to be double digits. 10.5?
Yeah.
11.5?
I still might take the over.
He said it's like the wedding's like 130 people. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, 10%? 10% of the people there asked that question, maybe? That doesn't feel out of line.
I don't think so either.
You got to think, I mean, it's 20% of his family, essentially, because you got to think half of the wedding is her, his family, who doesn't really know him as well. Half his family. 20%? That doesn't seem out of the question for that. We can talk more about that coming up in a minute. Well, not that. We can talk more about that coming up on Monday when Alex is here to defend himself. But let's talk about what this game is going to play like. I genuinely think this game is going to be hideous to watch. You're like, but what do you mean? This will play like your run-of-the-mill December-November AFC West game. And if you've been watching the Chiefs over the last 5 years, do you know how many hideous games you've seen between those teams? Do you know how many, like, dumb Thursday nights the Chiefs should have lost that they won you've seen? The Christmas Day game last year? This last Broncos game? Do you know how many of those games you've seen in your life in the AFC West? That's how this game's going to play. This team effectively plays themselves as much, and not even effectively. This isn't for 5 years. This would be the eighth time they've played each other.
It almost is a division.
So I will guarantee schedule. You almost they see each other in the postseason. So it'll be 9 times in 5 years. Over the last 5 years, they've seen the Raiders 10, the Chargers 10. They haven't seen them an additional time. They've seen the Chargers 10, the Raiders 10, the Broncos 10. Like, so, I mean, it is, by all accounts, this is a divisional game. And that's how you should view the gameplay of it. Two teams who know each other too well, who know what the other likes to do, who know what the... It's not been a different coach, not been a different quarterback, not been different quarterback on either
There's
side.
There's, like, no changes, barely.
Same teams. Matt Milano's been on the Bills this whole time. Travis Kelce's been on the Chiefs this whole time. Sure, rosters move. It's the NFL.
They always got to prep for Chris Jones.
Yeah, they always got to prep for Chris Jones. Von Miller's in the game. That makes it feel like, you know, like there's another divisional game aspect. Like, they didn't see him twice a year for his entire career. It's just a division game. Those tend to be ugly. Those tend to be decided by in the fourth quarter on the final drive or the second to last drive. And honestly, I don't expect this game to be any different. I expect this game to come down to the bitter end. The last three games between these two teams has been settled in either overtime or by a field goal. These have turned into, and I pointed that out about the Bengals, because before the Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes era had all been settled by 3 points. Every single game they had played. The Bills games weren't like that at first. They had this weird end where, like, the Bills had either beat the Chiefs by 20 or the Chiefs had beat the Bills by 10, and you weren't really sure which way it was going to go there for a little bit. Lately, they've turned into the same thing, which is, nah, real close. Tight matchup between two teams, and you can't really make a guess, right? That's what I think is what this game is going to look like. Inevitably, I think it'll have to be some person you're not expecting to help you win the game. That's how division games are won. Matt Araiza makes a big punt. Or it's always like,
Watson gets you a first down to clinch the game.
Justin Watson gets a 20-yard first down to clinch you the game. It's never. Last week, one of the players who surprisingly ended up making a difference in the win was Samaje Perine, right, on a big gain. Or it's a blocked kick. It's never the player you expect. It's not the player they're prepared for. They know how to slow down Travis Kelce at least a little. Does that mean he's not going to get 70 yards? No. But typically, like, they got their plan for that, whether they're just conceding and letting him get his yardage or fighting. Like, they know. These two teams know each other intimately at this point, which is why I think this thing's going to come down to the end. From the 816, I think this is either going to be a Chiefs offense explosion or exactly what you're saying. Literally no in the middle. Just either the Chiefs finally drop 35 on a team, a Bills team whose defense I do not think is as good as it is on paper, or it's just like some ugly dogfight it might be a dogfight in the 20s. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's like a rock fight in the sense that, like, the next Chargers game is probably 13-10. I just think it's a close game with two teams who know each other. That's it.
I think my pick, I know we're going to give our picks a little bit later. The pick that I gave for our social media video, I think, is going to be different than the pick that I give just based on some news that we've heard. Within Kincaid. Because, let's say the Bills are to win. It's a Dawson Knox game. Yep. And to me, it just comes across as, hey, Kincaid's out. Dawson Knox is somehow going to have 5 for 70 somehow and a touchdown because the Chiefs have struggled at times to cover tight ends. No, Kincaid certainly hurts the Bills a little bit, but yeah, the more news that we get, I think, and just looking at the teams and after hearing Matt Verderam just a little bit ago, think about how the teams really aren't as close as maybe they seem when we go through. The Bills haven't beaten all but one team who has a record over 500 this year. I'm leaning a certain way.
Yeah.
I'm leaning a certain way now.
Like, I don't know. I would fall way, 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 way short of saying the Bills are frauds. And obviously they can win this game. The Chiefs are without so many players. Like, I don't know how many times you have to point out how many players they're missing. By next week, though, we won't be saying they're without, you know, wide receiver three anymore. Because I've said wide receiver one and two. Technically, they're without wide receiver one, two, and three. Because Juju Smith-Schuster was wide receiver three until he got hurt. Now, I get it. Technically, DeAndre Hopkins is their one now. He would have been just as good, if not better, than Hollywood Brown, but they wouldn't have had to made the trade for Hopkins if all those guys were whatever. They're down to essentially their third, fourth, fifth options at wide receiver. Like, I guess I just don't fear it that same way. So we can, you know, chalk that one up. We'll get to the random question of the day coming up in about 8 minutes or so. But the Chiefs yesterday announced something that I don't think should be a surprise. They announced that they are going to do a viability study. They're going to ask you, the season ticket members and other Chiefs fans, whether or not you want to renovate at Arrowhead or you want to move the stadium to Missouri, you want to move into a different part of Missouri or build one there or move to Kansas. They're going to get your feedback on what you want in a new stadium. So I'll just ask you now. We don't need a viability study. 913-586-7965. The text line is a viability study. If you had your choice of these four options, what would you choose? Renovated Arrowhead. New stadium on the Arrowhead site. Or Kauffman Stadium site. New stadium in Kansas. Three options. Of those three choices, which would you choose? So new stadium, Missouri, same spot. Renovated stadium, same spot. Or new stadium in Kansas, what would you want? 913-586-7965. Because my initial reaction to this was like, I was honestly a little stunned. I'm sorry. You didn't already do this study? How?
What took you so long?
This vote was in April, which meant you had a whole year before that in these conversations. When John Sherman bought the team, he said he was going to move them. So like for like 4 years, you've known. Probably for longer than that. But for at least 4 years, you knew you were going to have to do something about the stadium. And you waited this long to do a viability study? What is wrong with you? I'm sorry, that's stupid. And I think it all comes down to the idea that they just thought they were going to get a yes. But like, what were you doing? This is nuts. From the 913, renovate. New stadium, renovate. New stadium, renovate. I don't see a lot of, I'll say this much. I don't see a lot of new stadium where the things are. New stadium in Kansas. Someone says, don't care which state, just give me a dome. New stadium, same spot. There's a couple at least. I'm surprised. A couple of those. I'll be honest with you. It might be an equal third distribution. So how are they supposed to get a majority on this one?
I'm trying to keep track. There's a lot of people texting in. There's a ton of people texting in.
But doesn't it seem like it's about a third right now?
It seems like it is definitely more. It seems like there's more either renovate or
new stadium in Kansas.
New stadium in Kansas. I think
if you're going to stay in Missouri, just give me Arrowhead.
That's something that I stand on. I think even as well. Like if you like the location of where it's at, just renovate Arrowhead. But we need better renovations than what you were proposing. And then maybe build up around the K. Like, give us a better reason to vote yes than the parking lot being switched up a little bit in the green space. Put a retractable roof on it, make it more appealing, and then put some stuff around it if you like that spot. Or I would say, yeah, move to Kansas. I wonder how many people.
Just want a new stadium.
How many more
people? My choices would be B or C.
How many more people do you think, Cody, would vote yes? Like, would you vote yes if it was. Keep the stadium where it is, but we're going to build a retractable roof and put some other options. Like, I don't know if the retractable roof alone is the selling point, but does it make it more of a selling point than what they did?
Based on the estimates of the cost, dude, it would cost just as much to renovate and put a retractable roof on than just build a new one.
So you might as well put the new one. Exactly. You might
as well build a new one.
Exactly.
Like, I hate to sound like the people who don't care about, like, I'm sure it's dope to live in Europe and like get to go to see castles and stuff. I'm sure it's cool. I wish we had like some cool old stuff like that. This is a stadium made of concrete. It's not a cool castle. I'm not married to it. It's a cool stadium. It's a historic stadium. I will always remember the times I went to Arrowhead Stadium. Bulldoze it. Like, I'm sorry. And there is no better time to do this. The problem is that I'm convinced they didn't do as the Chiefs in particular. The Royals to an extent, but the Chiefs in particular seem like they just hitched their wagon to the Royals thing, asked for the same amount of money, slapped together some bad renovation plans, did zero research or effort of any kind to find out if anybody who goes to their games would actually like any of this stuff, and then just said, we good. You can vote for it, right? We're the Chiefs. Two-time Super Bowl champions, baby. And then just hope that you would vote yes. And then found out pretty quick, it don't go down like that.
So somebody from the M16 said, renovate and please, God, do not put a roof on. I feel like if they do any option is going to have a roof. I think, right, Cody? If they build a new stadium, it's going to have a retractable roof. Yeah, if they renovate Arrowhead at this rate, I think the roof is a must at this point. It's a necessary thing. In order to vote yes, I feel like.
Someone says we should put it near Lake Arrowhead.
Oh my gosh, up there.
After everyone trashed it yesterday?
It would be fitting, but at the same time, you don't want it in a place. You want to the way that Alex always phrases it, you want the palace. Like that's what you mentioned castle. Yeah. You want the palace for Patrick Mahomes. Like this is, we're able to build this because Patrick Mahomes has done what he's done and Andy Reid has done for this franchise, and we want them to be able to enjoy it. We don't want to wait until after they're gone to build it. We want to build it now so they can enjoy it, and you can watch Patrick Mahomes play in this new stadium that is beautiful and gorgeous and all of that stuff. It gets people to come and visit. You know, they want to go to a new stadium, and it's an enjoyable spot that's in a new place, and it's got the roof, and who knows what else you can have because it's got the retractable roof.
If they're going to build a new one, at least get the windows right, right? Don't build this like Jerry World.
Yeah, build it in the right direction. facing the right way.
Maybe don't please. Have the sun beaming into the end zone, you know?
Yeah, that might be more important than anything else that they do. Make sure that everybody can see properly.
I guess in a lot of ways, like people are mentioning the dome. In a lot of ways, because they're like, could you imagine how loud Arrowhead would be with a roof? Of course it would be. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of ways, if you just built, like, let's say you would be for the renovation if you put a roof on top of it, a retractable roof. I don't think it's Arrowhead anymore if you put a roof on it. Does that... I don't know if that's a bad take or people don't agree with. I no longer think it's really Arrowhead if you just slap a roof on it.
People would say it is Arrowhead, but it's not the same. It's just not the same.
It's changed too much of a percentage. It's like someone who gets too much plastic surgery. You're not the same person you were before. You look too different from what you used to look like. You're essentially an amalgamation of a different person than I thought you used to be. Like it just changes fundamentally what it is. Is it really Arrowhead? Like, am I preserving Arrowhead and what it's been and the stadium that it is? If I put a whole ass roof on it, that's changing it in a lot of ways.
And I don't know if it would hit until January. I don't know if it would hit until December or January when it's 20 degrees outside and I can take my coat off and I can be comfortable. And so that's when I think it would really hit for everybody's, this is just, it's just not the same anymore. I will ask you this because you've been on the spectrum, I know with baseball at least, having smaller capacity size.
Yes.
I don't know what the capacity size exactly of is of Arrowhead, but if they do make a new stadium, would you want it to be less capacity crowd in Arrowhead in the new stadium compared to what Arrowhead currently has?
I'll say right now it will be. Currently, Arrowhead's capacity is 76,000.
You think it's going to be like 60 or 65?
I think it'll be like 65, 66. People are like, but how? Why would they make it smaller? They're just going to put in luxury boxes. And by the way, that's whether they renovate Arrowhead or build a new stadium. Just reality.
And based on what they've said, they like the that idea compared to the Vegas Stadium and the other ones that they've been to in SoFi.
Text line pointing out, it's like that Royal Stadium's not even going to happen now. It's just a data center. Like a data center. I'm so bummed, dude. That could have been a downtown stadium, and now it's just got some like servers in it. Ugh. Just wanted one more thing to do downtown, and we didn't even get it.
Random question.
For you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965,
Or you can hit us up on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. We live stream the show. You can see Drew Nye's face right now. He's wearing a green.
Yeah, I'm in some neon. A neon quarter zip.
You are brightly colored today. That's fine. But you can hit us up there at TheFan965. Please like, subscribe, put the little alert thing on of YouTube or Twitch so you know when we're going live, which is for every show, every single day. Question I have for you today is, what do you think is the most overrated show of all time? I ask this not because I think it's the most overrated show of all time, but because I think it's overrated. There are reports today at a deadline that they're looking to create a new series around Friday Night Lights. I watched that entire show front to back. I think it's fine. I'm not saying it's a bad show. I'm not saying it's so bad that I just quit it in the middle. It's fine. I do not understand people's love affair with that show. And the fact that they're rebooting and it's like, I thought the last one was only okay. They brought back the showrunner for that. So I want to know the show that you don't understand that everybody loves as much. First off, did you like Friday Night Lights, Drew?
Yeah, I'm kind of like you. I thought it was fine. It didn't do anything for me where I'm like, oh my gosh, that's one of the best. It's a top tier show. It was solid.
So you think it's okay? What do you think is the most overrated show? Someone says you're canceled for thinking this. It's just fine. From the 913, Friends was the first one that came up.
It's not a surprising one. That one or Seinfeld, I'm sure is going to get brought up here.
Yeah, Friends and Seinfeld are the ones right off the top.
I think Seinfeld is the greatest sitcom of all time, so obviously I'm not in that lane of things. I think if you like Friends, you don't like Seinfeld, and if you like Seinfeld, you don't care for Friends too much. I think Friends is fine, but it's not. My sister loves Friends. I think it's okay. I've watched some episodes, but it's not anything that makes me want to keep on coming back.
Breaking Bad from the 816, the most overrated show? What? So that one I don't get, man.
It's super boring.
From the 816, Walking Dead. Walking Dead's problem is that I enjoyed it for the first few seasons, and then the quality dips down, and I got it like, and then you're like gritty, you're kind of like bearing through it. Like, it's not nearly as, I thought the first couple of seasons of that show were really, really, really good. And then the quality dips, and you can't get there. From the 816, Ted Lasso and New Girl, tried them both, didn't like either.
Ted Lasso's fine. I don't know if I'd call it overrated. I thought Ted Lasso was fine.
I think it's properly rated. Does anyone think that that's the greatest show on planet? It's when I want to watch a 30-minute comedy that makes me feel a little good.
Yeah.
To me, it fits that niche perfectly, right? Right in that wheelhouse of like, it makes me feel a little bit good, and I get to do it. From the 316, this person, careful if you tell us your friends, I fall asleep every time I try to watch this.
That's what I was laughing at. Woo.
Which is universally, people, and I've never seen it, admittedly, universally one of the most beloved TV shows of all time.
I haven't seen it either. So
someone
I can't
says
comment.
From the 417, block that guy who said Breaking Bad. But the Walking Dead take is dead on. From the 816, Yellowstone. I have not given that show the time of day yet. So
isn't that with what's his name? Kevin Costner, right?
Yep.
I have not watched an episode of Yellowstone either. I think The Office. That actually is a good from the 913. The Office is in the same boat as Walking Dead. I think The Office is most overrated. I didn't like it, didn't care for it, thought it was bland, nah. Never got into it. Wasn't good.
From the 816, Game of Thrones before the final season. But again,
you got the ending it deserved?
Yeah.
Dang.
I mean, God, I don't know.
There's people who love that show, who I know.
From the 816, Arrested Development and Community are overrated? Oh, man.
Arrested Development, was that a...
I love that show.
Was that network
Love
TV?
That show. Yeah, it's older.
Community, I recognize, but...
When they brought back Arrested Development, I don't think it was good, but the first couple of seasons, that might have the most perfect pilot of all time. I love both of those shows, so, I mean, obviously I don't...
Somebody further
that.
Down the line
Grey's
said...
Grey's Anatomy being mentioned multiple times.
Somebody said Survivor. Sorry. You've been missing out. Survivor, it's reality TV. You've never seen Survivor?
Mm-mm.
With Jeff Probst or like
never
season 50
I'm
or whatever.
I'm familiar with it. I've just never seen it.
Oh, I think the way they've changed it, so my parents still watch it. I've fallen off over the last few years. They don't like it as much as they used to, kind of similarly how you, I don't know if that was Walking Dead that you said, or there was another one where it was fine the first few seasons, then you kind of fell off, or it was Breaking Bad.
No,
it was Walking Dead, I think you
Walking
said.
Dead.
It was good, but then it fell off.
Yeah.
Survivor's kind of that way. I mean, when you have... Like, they're on pace for 50 seasons. That's a long, long time.
The Office, by the way, is a very, very common one in here. That's it. That's my random question of the day. When we come back, It's the fan club time. Harold Kuntz from Fox 4 joins us next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.